Okay, last week we already began to learn some halacha, but let's learn some ideas. Okay, so where is the proper location to light the Chanukah menorah? Now, time of the Gemara, they lit mipesach bayis mibachutz. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What does it mean mipesach habayis? Does that mean the pesach of the courtyard, or does that mean the pesach of your home? Ancient times, it was rare that your home opened into the reshus harabim, into the public thoroughfare. Your bayis opened into a courtyard, and the courtyard in turn opened to the street. So the question is, where is the proper location? Should you put the menorah? We know that me'ikar hadin, the menorah should be put on the left side of the doorway. On the right side is the mezuzah. On the left side is the Chanukah menorah. So the question is, which door? Is it the door that from your home to the courtyard, or is it from the courtyard that opens up into the public thoroughfare? Now, it's not much nagei halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh. We discussed this last week, because today, pretty much, more or less, we light it indoors. We light it not by the courtyard, not by the Pesach habayis. Most of us light it indoors at the window. Okay, but let's make believe we would. Now, there are still people who have the minhag to light it by the door. Okay, there are people who still light it by the door, and Eretz Yisrael, it's much more common. And then those people who like to do this, but many of them live in areas where there is a courtyard. There's a front yard. If you live in an apartment building, so do you light it by the entrance to your apartment? And the presumenis will be for your people in your home and the neighbors on your floor? Or do you light it downstairs in the lobby, which we would say is the equivalent of the courtyard of the time of the Gemara? So this is a big dilemma. Everything about Chanukah, it's amazing. Every Chanukah is machlokes. There's almost no halacha pesuka. There's no consensus on anything when it comes to Chanukah. Everything is a matter of some do like this, some do like this. Everything is good. Everything is the donuts. That's the only thing everyone agrees on. Latkes also, we discussed last week. Latkes is it appears to be a new thing. Like we mentioned last week, I'll tell you a funny joke. I told this to my sister, her comment. I told my sister, where is the earliest source of donuts? It's Rabbeinu Maimon. Rabbeinu Maimon, the Rambam's father, he is the first one to mention that a person should not chas v'sholom be mevatel a minhag Yisrael. And he gives examples. And one of them is to have ugois that are fried in oil on Chanukah. Basically donuts. So my sister says, oh, now that's why the Rambam was a doctor. He had to undo the damage of his father. Rabbeinu Maimon poisoned everyone by advising they eat donuts. So the Rambam had to be a doctor to... Okay, it's not so funny, right? Okay. Okay. The other joke, you like better the other joke. What bracha do you make on donuts? Borei millione calories. Are going, being serious, so where do we, there are people today that still light the Chanukah menorah by the Pesach habayis. So we follow Rashi, Tosfos, Machlokes, and there's one, just one make one point that the commentators make is, it's you cannot bring a proof from what was done in the time of the Gemara, because it's one thing is clear, in the time of the Gemara, the courtyard that was outside the bayis was the place of hishtamshus, was the place where people did their daily activities. They did laundry. They did work. Okay, there are a lot of different types of activities the Gemara discusses. They would store, they had storage, the people, they left things there, they did various activities took place in the courtyard that was in front of the Pesach Habayis. That pretty much is not relevant today. Because today, in the lobby of a building, if you're the person living in an apartment building, you have no right to go leave your things lying around on the lobby on the first floor, or even in the hallway on your floor. This is meant to be empty, clean access to the people that live in the building, the people that live in your floor. And you have a front yard, so you have your bayis, and your bayis opens up into the front yard. also in the front, the front yard,
right.
People do not do things. People leave their front yard and it's a lawn. It's just empty.
Maybe they have permission from the landlord to build a sukkah.
In a chanami. So you see, so therefore many want to suggest is that even according to the opinions in the Gemara that said that the proper location to put the Chanukah menorah is in the courtyard, the entrance that goes from the courtyard into the street, that would not be relevant today. You cannot argue that the proper location to put your Chanukah menorah is on the first floor at the entrance to your apartment building, or if you live in a private house and have a front yard before your front lawn, you'll put it all the way in the front by the gate going into the yard, because the courtyards of today are not comparable to the courtyards in time of the Gemara, because the courtyard in time of the Gemara was a place of hishtamshus. It was a real extension of your home. In our society, these courtyards are not an extension of your home. So there, you live in a power building and you have a very nice landlord, unless you put the Chanukah menorah down to the first floor, it may be that it's not, you're not gaining anything. It's not necessarily correct. You'd have to put it in your home by the entrance to the door of your private home. Okay, now where is the proper location to put the menorah? So I remember seeing this something different over here in Rabbi Hachter's Sefer. He says the matter is a matter of fact, which I know for a fact that everyone agrees with what he says, but he says that the ideal location is between 3 and 10 tefachim, which means that you have to really have a very small menorah. Your menorah should not be, you see these magnificent giant-sized menorahs in your private home. I'm talking about your private home, the ideal location is between 3 tefachim, which is mamish, like a few inches off the floor, and it should not be higher than 10 tefachim off the floor. This is the ideal location, because this shows that you're lighting this ner l'shem mitzvah Chanukah. If you put the ner too high, then it looks like I'm lighting the snare for just illumination. Now today it's not so relevant, this halacha. Halacha doesn't change. To we have a hard time understanding this halacha, because today, if you're lighting on a Chanukah menorah, obviously this is l'shem Chanukah. But that's because today we have fancy menorahs and everything, we have electricity, so no one's putting candles on the table to provide illumination. You either have an electric fixture or you don't have an electric fixture. An electric fixture, we discussed last week, is not usually kosher for Chanukah candles. So therefore, if you're lighting a Chanukah menorah, it's clear as day to any person that looks at the Chanukah menorah, this is l'shem Chanukah. But it's not the way it was in time of Chazal. In time of Chazal, the Chanukah, it was indistinguishable. You lit a ner on your table at night to provide illumination. So now it's Chanukah. I light another ner. If it's Shas HaSakana, I'm not lighting it outside. I'm lighting it on my dining room table. So how do you know this candle is meant l'shem Chanukah? So the solution is, it has to be put in a special place where no, it's obvious to all that this is l'shem Chanukah, also l'shtamish l'oira, and the way that it was done was put low, between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim. In fact, the Chazal say that that's what Chanukah is all about, because we have a tradition that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah did not come down to this world lower than 10 tefachim. What do we mean? We learned from the Oron, where was Hashem's resting place on this world? On the Oroin HaKodesh, in between the two Kiruvim. The Kapores is exactly 10 Tefachim off the ground. The Oroin was an Amah and a half. An Amah is 6 Tefachim. A half is 3 Tefachim. 6 plus, not, plus 3 is 9. The thickness of the Kapores, the cover, was 1 Tefach. So where was the Shekhinah resting? 10 Tefachim off the ground. Hashem's presence did not go down to this earth lower than 10 Tefachim. 10 Tefachim. What is Chanukah all about? Hashem has gone, or Hashem has never gone before. man has gone, with that expression, Hashem has gone even lower. Hashem went and we were on the verge of extinction. Hashem showed extreme kindness to Klal Yisrael. He did for us something that he never did in the world before, to come rescue us from a state of contamination, of despair, and of danger like never before. That is expressed and shown that Hashem's Shekhinah has gone lower than 10 Tefachim. Therefore, the ideal location to light the Chanukah is between 3 Tefachim. 3 Tefachim on the ground is not respectful to light the Chanukah in Mount Nora, but the candle, which represents Hashem's Shekhinah, His holiness, should be less than 10 tefachim. Many Rebbe students, some people go to Hadlaka to watch a Rebbe, a big Rebbe, light Hanukkah candles. You'll notice that the Hanukkah candles are very, very low. When I was a child, I never ever saw this. I never saw someone lighting Hanukkah candles very, very low. Now I see they sell in the Judaica stores special low tables. Special low tables to put your Hanukkah menorah to mekayim this mitzvah. Now the thing is, if you have a regular menorah and you put even the tables are very, very low, and you have a regular just an average Hanukkah menorah, the menorah itself will take the candles above 3 tefachim. So I once saw in the sefer, it's okay as long as the object that you use that you dedicate to light the Hanukkah menorah begins lower than 3 tefachim, you have fulfilled this chazal. This chazal that is the ideal location. So even if a gigantic menorah, as long as your Hanukkah menorah is starts to rest above 3 tefachim off the ground, you are okay. Here he doesn't say that. Here Rabbi Hofstadter, a very big halachah, with really beautiful things he writes in the Sefer, Rabbi Zev Hofstadter, he writes as a matter of fact that the actual candle, the actual light, must be below 3 tefachim. That's what he writes here. That. So obviously there are chilukei deos in this question, this matter.
You have to really put the menorah on the floor.
Very close to the floor. Very close, that's right.
Most of our menorahs,
no one does it. You don't see this being done. You do not, it's dangerous.
Rabbi
said, safety first. The first thing that counts for Hanukkah is it should be safe. Okay, you heard it here. Don't come blame me. Safety first. That's probably why we don't do it. I'm imagining it's probably one of the main reasons why it's unheard of. I would imagine that to be a major, major factor. Is that Chamira Sakanta Yoyser Meisur? If you have little children, even big adults, and you put something very, very low, it's very dangerous. It could tilt, it could tip. A child walks, and before you turn around, who knows what could happen? So therefore, it could very well be that's why this was not practiced. Halacha is halacha. But it's not something which is commonly done. So Rebbes, they have big Rebbes, and they go and they do it. But the pictures that I've seen of the big Rebbes, what I've seen is they talk of a very low table, and they have a very low table, but they have this big, magnificent, Hanukkah menorahs, some of them, some not, some have an old one from back in Europe, an old menorah, and usually it's clear as day that the light itself is above 10 tefachim off the ground. Okay, there's something to be aware of. We don't do this. The vast majority, 95%, and even more maybe, doesn't do this. We're not makbid on this, probably because it's not safe. Especially if you have children, you want to put it in a safe, secure place, period. But it is brought down, and all of the svarim is that this, if you want to talk about the ideal is between 3 and 10 tefachim. Now, where do you light? So we light by the window. Now, interesting question. When you light by the window, when you make the bracha, do you face the window, or do you put the menorah on a table in front of the window, and there is space between the window and the table? And when you light the menorah, you stand between the window and the menorah with your back to the window, and you light facing the Bnei Bayis, your home. So no one does that, I would imagine, here. I would imagine everyone over here, when you light the menorah, you stand, you're in your room, and you light facing the window.
No, I face this way, facing the house.
You go in between the menorah and the Bayis? Really? You do that? That's what your father did? That's what we did. He always did that. You stood with your back
to the window.
Back to the window and you faced
the house
and you faced the house.
It's on the right side.
Okay, so Enoch, there are different menorahs. Most people light facing outside. It appears that it's more correct to put your back to the window and light facing your family. Because Bizman Hazet, the Igor Persume Nisa is for the Bnei Bayis. So when you light the Hanukkah candles, you face them out of respect. When you make Kiddush, do you put your back to your family?
No.
Friday night, when you make Kiddush, okay, we're making your dining room table, and you turn your back to your family, and you face the opposite. It's disgusting. That's not respectful. You're davening to Hashem in the presence of your family. I mean, might see you. Or there's a halacha that I can't look at you. I'm davening to you. There's a halacha that if I look at you and I make the bracha, I'm making a bracha that you're God. I'm making a bracha to you. It's ridiculous. No such thing. You make a bracha. I'm being might see you. I'm making kiddush. I look at you. I face you. So what's going on over here? Everyone comes together for Hanukkah candles, and everyone the Rosh Habayis, he puts his back to his family, and he lights candles. So who? So the few people walking the street, if there are anyone who's walking in the street, walking down your block and seeing what you're doing, there's no one there. So maybe, I think it's because space considerations. People weren't so affluent in the olden days to have such large living rooms where they have unlimited space. People were constricted. They had a little teeny little room. You live a whole family in one little room. There's not enough space.
Turn the menorah around after you light?
No, that will get to you. No, you're not allowed to move the menorah. After you light, we have a halacha. You're not allowed to move the menorah around.
You place it or you light it?
So this is a very interesting concept which we do not do today. Today the minhag is still hanach lechem liyisrael. You light facing the street. You put it in the window on the windowsill. Hey, that's the minhag yisrael. But it's interesting is that not everyone does. There is a very small minority that does not do this. They light with their back to the window. They face the window. Where do you do this? Do this in shul. In shul, when you light the menorah, you face the people. There's no such thing. And people do a lot of strange things in shul. Shul is a very funny thing.
But your back is
menorah.
What?
No, it's the side.
It depends. Every shul is different because of, I don't know, shul is a very complicated thing when you do in shul. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, do it one way, and the Rama says do it another way, and it seems like every rabbi has their own way of doing it. So it's a very complicated thing how you do it in shul, which way, but generally, most of the shuls that I've been in, is that when the person lights the Chanukah candles, he's facing the Olam. He's not facing with his wall to the... What?
No. You're all doing it by a window and...
In a shul?
Yes.
In a window in shul?
Safety.
There's no such thing as doing it by a window in shul.
You're facing the people.
A window?
Definitely did.
And our shul there, we're doing it where...
A window? You don't do by a window.
Like here, right?
Yep.
On the
right,
like this.
On the right side,
east, west, the
right.
Right side.
And where does he stand? He should stand with his back to the wall, facing the Olam. And he lights the first candle, be closest to the Aron HaKodesh.
Absolutely.
But you're facing your face, as clear as day, that when you light, you're facing the people.
Like
so what's this today, that when we light Chanukah candles, we face the street? The Iker Persumenisa Esav B'nei Bayis. We all stood by the window. If someone wants to look in, from the outside and wants to see, so they can see also. That doesn't mean you should give them the priority. It's like a perversion. It's what they'll say in the street. I'll sacrifice my family in order to preserve...
When you light your house, when we face the window, we're lighting on our right side.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. What it doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter.
The same way, but it looks bad.
What do you mean?
Of course it's different.
What do you mean? The minhag is to write the first kill on the right side. Whichever way you're facing.
This is the window. I'm facing this way.
The right.
So it's the opposite.
But the observer, right.
We don't care the observer which way.
It
doesn't matter which way. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I'm making the problem.
Okay, so that is something to keep in mind. Is that the truth is, look at what you do in shul. In shul, you light the candles in shul, you're facing the oilam. You're not facing the wall. When you light, when we put it in the window so people from the outside can see. So why is it? I don't know. I'll just make another.
How's he facing the people? He's facing the wall.
No, you're not supposed to be facing the wall. Both according to the Bechaber and according to the Ramah, it's clear as day, you're supposed to be facing the people. The Mechaber, the Machlis, the Mechaber and the Ramah, should you put it, Mimizrach, Mitzofim Ledolim, or Mimizrach Lamayr? Okay, the Mechaber says that the menorah should be put, Mitzofim Ledolim. The same, like we are in Kodesh is? You see what the menorah is? It should be the other way. That's the Mechaber. The Mechaber says should be facing, the Mechaber says that it should be facing that way.
So that's facing east-west.
That's facing east-west. Correct. So that's the Ramah. That's what we do. That's what Ashkenazim do. The Ramah does. The Ramah does.
But the first candle on the right is not near the arm. The first candle on the right is away from the arm.
The first candle is by the wall.
Where's the menorah?
You're supposed to put the menorah on the side.
So really, the best place for the menorah, they can't do
it
here.
Put them back here, so you can face it.
That's right. So in some shuls, the best place is to put the menorah like where the clock is.
You're supposed to put the menorah on this wall,
because in the base Hamikdash was on the south. So you put the menorah. Now you can't always do because the practical consider is dangerous. So many shuls are put in the front. But you notice over there, this is what the Ramah says to do. The Ramah does not say you have to put it in the middle of the shul. Okay, the Ramah says you put it in the Mizrach L'Mayrav. That's the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. And where do you stand? You stand with your wall to the back, exactly the way it's done over here, with the wall to the back, and when you light it, you're facing the Aron HaKodesh. So if you would put this in the middle of the shul and you would light it, what?
Just it's not that way here.
It is. The candle lit. Look, the candle that's lit.
Oh, but where you're standing.
What?
When you're light, when they light it, facing this
giving you a
and the light on the other side?
Give you a signal up there.
And the light on the but the light on the wrong way then.
I mean, that's the first minute, so I don't see it. But
still, no, the way it's set up indicates that they're lighting, the way it's set up indicates first that they're minute, lighting with their back to the wall. That's exactly what it says in the Ramah. Whatever. The other opinion. Okay, whatever.
Not
but,
there's no other way to do it. It's not opinion.
What?
It's like it's not. It's a matter of practicality.
Right. Exactly. Most shuls, it turns into a matter of pure practicality because the configuration of the shul does not allow itself that it should be safe and be seen to be done like what it says in shul. And since only a minute, we're not makbid on this. But the point is, but the way the shul now describes it is clearly when you're lighting the room, you're facing the oilon. When you make kiddush, you face the family. You don't turn your back to the family.
Exactly.
In shul, you face the people. So why at home is it different? Why at home has it become the minhag, you put the menorah by the window, and you put your back to your family, and you face the street? Who is more important? The people in the street or your family? Your family is more important. If the people in the shul are more important, then you would light it by the door outside. You would do the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, you light it by the door. We don't do that anymore, Bizman Hazel. We light it indoors. And because you can really light on your dining room table. If you're already lighting the menorah indoors, and it's a minute to put it in the window so from the street they can see it, a little parsumi nitzah, the Magen Avraham quotes the Knesset Agbela, you should put it by the window. It doesn't mean put it by the window. After they come, your back should be towards your family. However, listen, Hanach Lohem Ali Yisrael, if this is the minute, there must be some reason. Only ha'or I would like to make with you is, in the days HaMikdash, when Arda couldn't lit the menorah, which way did he face? He faced the wall. He faced the wall. Unless you'll tell me that all of the models that we find in the Beis HaMikdash were not necessarily correct, which could very well be. I don't know. The civil understanding, you look at a model of the Beis HaMikdash, and they show you the Aron, and Chazal said there were steps. There were steps in front of the menorah. Where do they put the steps? They put the steps in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, which means that when Aaron HaKohen, when the Kohen lit the menorah, he was facing the wall. He was facing the south wall. Now, my question to you is that really correct? Will they show them the models? Will they put the steps? They put the steps more north, and when you're lighting, you're getting up on the steps and you're facing the wall. Where does it say that? Maybe in the Beis HaMikdash, the steps were against the wall, and the Kohen ascended the three steps, and he lit the Hatava, the Hadlaka, and he faced the Daran. No, Tzofen. They suffer. They suffer. Where does it come from? This I really wonder. I really wonder if it's an error or it's brought down. That's how it should be. And why do I even say this to you? Because we once discussed this. There's a Rashbam. The Rashbam says. It says in the Pasuk, El mul parashas bahaloscha, El mul pinei ha-menoira, yo'iru shivas ha-neiros. Rashi quotes the Gemara. What does this Pasuk mean? What does it mean, El mul pinei ha-menoira? What is the ponim of the menoira? So it's a Gemara. And the Gemara says the ponim of the menoira is the center branch. The center branch of the menorah is the ponim. The six neiros should be tilted towards the center branch. It's a Gemara. It's a Ferish Gemara, and this is what Rashi says. There's a major, major difficulty with this piece of Gemara. Because if that is correct, a mul pnei, that mul means towards, the ponim is the center, your iru should be kindled, it should give light, the pnei, your iru pnei menorah, towards the Pnei HaMenorah, why does it say Shivas HaNeiros? It should say six Neiros. El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yeiru Sheishes HaNeiros. Not Shivas HaNeiros. There are seven candles, six on each side, one in the center. The six are pointing towards the center. El Mul Pnei HaMenorah. Towards the Pnei, the middle branch, Yeiru, it should illuminate.
The
six, the Sheishes HaNeiros. The Pnei HaMenorah, according to the Gemara, the Pnei HaMenorah is the center.
The center.
That's what it means, according to the Gemara.
Why doesn't it just mean the center candelabra? And so the Neir is extra. There's the seven Neiros.
El Mol Pnei HaMenorah, Yeiru. El Mol towards the center, Yeiru. What is the center? I have to read the Gemara. It's far, far but, the middle Neir, it's not pointing to itself. The middle Neir doesn't point anywhere. The middle Neir is the middle Neir. So why then does the Pasuk conclude with the words Shivas? It should conclude El Mol Pnei HaMenorah, Yeiru. Sheishes HaNeiros.
What? Seven. Cunning. Why six?
The seventh branch is the center of attention. The six branches.
Put it in front of you. In front of you.
It says in the pasuk, you have a menorah. The center branch is the Ner Bar Ravi. We call it the Ner Bar Ravi. Okay, it lasted miraculously for 24 hours. The pasuk says now we have a center branch, El Mul, towards the translation of the words. El Mul, towards Pnei is the center.
No center, it's in front of
the word Pnei means the center. The word Pnei means the center. According to the Gemara, I'm not making this up, the Gemara. El Mul, towards Pnei, the center HaMenorah, Yeiru, shall there be illumination? Shall the illumination be shined? Now, how many Neiros are going to shine towards the center?
Six.
Because the one that is in the center is the center. It's shining upon itself.
So by default, so what's the problem?
So the problem is, why does the Pasuk say Shivas HaNeiros? It should say Sheishes HaNeiros.
Why not? You can't ignore this one going.
What?
The center one is lit.
It's lit towards it, and it doesn't. You're not lighting. It's not correct to say that the center shall light towards itself. It doesn't make sense. The center is the center.
Unless you
have
your Eru, and then what's going to be? They're all lit.
There's a weakness on one side and the other side. Maybe that's the beginning.
There's a grammatical difficulty with the Perish of the Gemara. Is this what the Gemara says? This is a pshat. You can't deny this Gemara, but you have to acknowledge there's a problem. Okay, the Gemara, when the day is over, so you're a problem. Everyone has problems. No one's different problems. That's the way it is. Figure it out. You'll figure it out, but that's the problem. But there is a problem. So maybe this opens up the possibility that what the Gemara is saying is more of a drush. And maybe there's another pshat in the pasuk. And indeed the Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, he picks up on this difficulty and he has an awesome pshat, a whole new incredible pshat which opens up wide everything. Changes the whole look of the menorah. It opens up, you can write a whole drush sefer on this because of what he says. But even pshat, and that's how I'm trying to bring this into where you light the menorah today, where you're lighting from. We're lighting facing the women. We're putting our backs to the family. We're more concerned what they're going to say in the street than we're concerned about our own family.
I don't care about
it's pretty scary.
What you say, why should you be on my side? Why do you keep saying back to the family?
When you make Kiddush, so there are, I'll turn my back to the wall, you're on my side.
Why? You're sitting at a table, you make Kiddush at the table. People are sitting around.
I care less about my name.
You're lighting Hanukkah candles. Where are you? When you're lighting Hanukkah candles, where are you facing?
It depends what room you're lighting in.
In the living room, the average family.
The children are on your side.
Are you looking, are you facing them?
No.
What is that?
They're facing us.
They're not in the back. They're in the side. That's what you're saying.
Side? What side? What side? The mother says, "Get away from the window. You're gonna get." It's not respectful. Turn around and look at the kids. Look at them when you make the bracha. Make.
No,
right.
Look at the mitzvah when you're making the bracha.
So look at your kaiser, so you can do the both.
Yes, I look at the kaiser when I'm making the bracha.
And you also respect them because you're facing your family. I'm sorry, Rabbi, sorry, wait, hold off one second. Okay, let me tell you the Rashbam, and maybe you'll appreciate the question a lot better. Because of this question, Rashbam says something amazing. He says, "Mul pnei" does not mean the "mul" means towards. "Pnei" does not mean the center branch. "Pnei" means what is in front, the area, the space, the object that is in front. What is on the opposite side of the Mishkan, diametrically opposite the menorah? The Shulchan. What's on the Shulchan? The Lechem upon him. The purpose of lighting the menorah is El Mul Pnei Hamen, according to the Rashbam. All of the candles shall be tilted or shall be directed towards the area that is in front of the menorah. All seven. The six plus the center also should be situated to make sure that it's El Mul Pnei to give illumination the Lechem upon him. The purpose of lighting the Neirois is to showcase, is to highlight. Like Lahavim Elif Alfi Avdolis, you go to a Broadway show and they have that big circle, right? Following the guy going back and forth on the stage. They have lights.
Spotlights.
The purpose of the menorah is not to light up the Mishkan. It's to showcase, to highlight the Lechem upon him. Isn't that amazing? That's why it says Rashbam, on the positive. Rashbam. Why is Rashbam saying this? Because a very big difficulty. Rashi is quoting the Gemara. And Rashi knows what he's doing. Okay, Rashi knows exactly what he's doing, and we have to mind Rashi is the Ikar, no question about it. But appreciate there's a difficulty in Rashi. Appreciate that Rashi, the Gemara, the Rashbam, for whatever reason, Rashbam, this is Derech. Rashbam does this all the time. Rashbam, he takes these delicious pshuta shel mikras. Like, read the pasuk just in the simplest understanding. Don't give me too much drush. Don't go into drushim. Tell me. Rashi says no. Sometimes I feel the drush is the ikar. Obviously, here the Rashbam is bringing out that when Rashi is quoting the Gemara, Rashbam's opinion, that's not the ikar. It's a very nice Gemara. Rashbam can't ignore the Gemara. Let's make no mistake about that. But Rashbam is saying, well, you want to learn the pasuk. You're learning Mara Sedrach. You want to read the pasuk. Read the pasuk. Very simply, El Mul Pnei Menorah. The purpose of the menorah is to showcase the Lechem upon it. So my question to you is, it could be I'm totally ignorant, I'm totally wrong. Is we know that it's when in the Mishkan, when they lit the Chanukah, when they lit the menorah, when they lit the menorah in the Mishkan, where did the Kohen stand when he lit the menorah? Where did he stand? Did he stand with his back to the wall facing the menorah? Or did he stand in the center of the Mishkan facing the wall? Which way? In almost every illustration that I've seen of the Mishkan, of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, and they show, if they don't always show it, the steps, because Chazal said there was, b'halois, you have to have steps, there were three steps, because we want the coin to stand above, stand higher. They show steps. They always put this platform to light the menorah in the middle of the Mishkan. Which means he's standing in the middle and he's facing the wall. Just like we all do today. We go to the window, we put the menorah by the window, we face the wall, we face the glass wall, we face the window. But is that really correct? Is there a source for this? Or they just, I don't know, like they're brainwashed. They brainwashed, they made a picture, and it became very common. That's, I want to see the guy lighting. I want to see the running.
If there were three steps, wouldn't it be above the...
Yes, you would end up standing above. The menorah was, the Chazal said, the menorah itself was 18 tzvachim. The light, that's more than we do. We're supposed to light the candles. No one does it.
6 feet?
No, 18 tzvachim is, no. 18 tzvachim is, wait, you're right.
18
is 3 feet.
1.5 feet.
So there are three.
3.5 to 4 inches at Tefach. That's what you
do. Yeah, so it's 72, which is about 5.5, 6 feet.
Right. So a person is at, the person basically, the average person would be, right. 3 amos. So there are 3 amos, same thing. It's the height, the menorah basically was the same height as the person. And the truth is you could, Chazal said, you could lift your hand above and you can light the neros. However, there's a musr. You can't do with precision. If the menorah is exactly your height, you have to lift up your hand.
See what you're doing.
You can get the job done, but there's a lack of precision. Third demands. Neiros refers to Torah, learning Torah. It refers to raising Talmidim. This is a very popular Musavart. The reason why there has to be a problem is when a Rebbe raises a Talmud, doesn't just go, you close your eyes, yeah, hopefully it caught on. I raise it somehow. You gotta see exactly what's doing by your student. You got to get on that platform and you got to look down and see the nitty gritty of what's doing when you light those nails. That's one reason. There's another very beautiful reason, and this is amazing. This is going off on a little on tangent. Is that Aaron HaKadosh? There was only one, someone to suggest. It's a shocking thing. I learned this year. There was only one person that used the platform. Regular Kohanim did not use the platform. If they lit the menorah, they stood there and they lit. Big deal. They lit. Aaron, no, because Aaron wore the tzitz. You cannot raise your hand above the tzitz. Shem Hashem.
How do you put on the
tzitz? They put on first. I guess you put on the tzitz very. You put on the tzitz first. You must have put the tzitz on first. That's right. The tzitz. There was a space where the tzitz was. Right. It was above the tzitz. It was above. So you put the tzitz on first. And then you put on the tzitz. So therefore, you never raise your hand above the tzitz. So therefore, Aaron HaKoyen was wearing the tzitz. He can't go put his hands above of the tzitz. So he has no choice but to get on a platform. And therefore, he doesn't have to raise his hands above the tzitz. But a regular Koyen, ordinary Koyen, he's not wearing the tzitz. He's not wearing the tzitz. Tzitz is a whole shock. He raised his hand above the tzitz. Let's say they weren't wearing tzitz. Let's say they didn't wear tzitz for this. Any kohen gadol needed a platform because he came with it, but a regular kohen did not need a platform. They did it from the floor. It was miyuchid for Aaron HaKohen. If you want to say a drush, every kohen also stood on the platform because every person has to have hasogis to be a kohen gadol. You have to have big hasogis in life. I don't need a platform because I don't wear a tzitz. It does not seem the kohen gadol lit the menorah every day. It doesn't seem so. It seems he was very rare, if ever, the Kohen Gadol lit the menorah. The Kohen Gadol brought the Minchas Chavidin every single day. It could be they did it for him also. I'm not even sure he had to do it. I think they brought it for him. But he had to pay for it. But why? If you're going to say that every single Kohen went on the platform, why are they going on the platform? They don't need the platform. Because the Kohen Gadol needs the platform. I'm practicing to one day be the Kohen Gadol. You're going to be the Kohen. Who are you joking? Who are you kidding? You're going to be the Kohen Gadol one day, you are nothing. No, you have to be raised with big hasagas. Every purse, every coin stands on that platform. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll be a Kohen Gadol. I have to have those hasagas. Big hasagas to be the Kohen Gadol. Okay. So, by the side, I told you it was per parents. The child was born in Canada. What happened? The child was not born in Canada. They came to America, and there was a confusion. And the birth certificate said, "Child was born in Canada." So a firm person did this, and the father did not let up. And the judge there, they went to have the birth certificate. This is a mistake. Baby was born in America. Change the birth certificate. Change it. Change the birth certificate. This story goes back 70 years. This story. Person came, an immigrant from Shanghai, came to America, and they were in Canada first, and they went to New York, Gansa Maisa, and they went back to Canada, and they got born country of birth, Canada. It's a mistake. Went back, spent the whole day fighting. The judge says, what do you care? I'll get all the benefits. Don't worry. You're an American citizen. All the benefits. What do you care? And he said very seriously, I want my son to have the potential to be the president of the United States. Just, are you serious? Yeah. You think that your son? Yeah. I want there to be potential. Look, it works for him. That was a lie. This is a true story. Okay, that was a lie.
They had the big thing with you.
I've read up on this. I am very. Listen, Rabbi Yisai, going on a tangent. I was very curious about this, and I've read a lot of this. And my conclusion, my humble opinion after reading all, is that there's no doubt about it. They all know, the CIA and everyone knows, it's a fact. He was born in Indonesia, in Kenya, and he has a birth certificate in here. His mother was mamish, very clever. She came to America, then to Hawaii. He was already a little bit older, and she was a clever woman. And she knew, you never know in America, it's kedai to have a birth certificate in America. So she paid a few dollars, and in those days, it wasn't like today. There's no computer records, garnish from garnish. For a few dollars, you can get a birth certificate in America. Where was he really born? Siadua. In the government, the secret files, Kenya, they have the real birth certificate. After reading all this stuff, this is how I feel is true. And not a conspiracy theory. His mother was a very clever woman. She was a very clever woman, and she said, you never know. She paid a few dollars. She went there. She got a make-believe. And legally, you can't do anything. He got a real birth certificate that says he was born in Hawaii. That's it. There's nothing you can do.
Who was his father?
That's what appears to be the MS. He got away with it. He got away with it legally. In America, it's a land of laws. It's if you have the right documentation. That's right. That's the way it is in America. It worked for a lot of people. It works out very well. So he was able to do it. So good for him. Okay? He was able to do it. But this is a true story. This is a story where the person was really born in America and the government made a mistake. And it says, that's right. And you know, where does that come from? Where does it come from a Jew to have such asagas? That's yados. Yados is you have to have she'ifos of godless for the best of the best. There's a Musa Haskell. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this down, I think a break one second, I'm bringing it down is because this whole sugya, where do you light the Hanukkah candles? So
Canada.
Do you light it? So let's go to the Beis Hamikdash. You go to the Beis Hamikdash, wouldn't that shed? There are people that are allowed to be in the Heichal when the Kohen lit the Hanukkah candles. The only time no one is allowed to be in the Heichal is on Yom Kippur. When the Kohen lit the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, it does not say anywhere everyone should be absent.
Only Kohanim.
Yisrael were not allowed. They're not allowed in there. Yisraelim are not allowed, but there were Kohanim in there. It does not say, L'chara, there were people, Kohanim were watching. L'chara, there were many Kohanim that came to watch. It was an Avodah. It doesn't say anywhere you can have Kohanim in there when they lit the menorah. So there were people there. So what, he put his back to them, and he faced the wall, and he lit? Maybe. I don't know. But does it say anywhere, Mamish, that that's how it was done? Does it say that the platform was done in the center and he faced the wall? Doesn't even tell us. They write right to left, left to right. It doesn't say any of this anywhere. Who says that the platform wasn't against the wall? The Gemara talks about when they brought the lechem upon him, how much space is there between the wall in order they can sneak in there to change the bread. When they put the bread, they went in there. When they changed the bread on the shulchan, on the other side, the Gemara explicitly says they went up and they brushed against the wall. Two Kohanim to bring the bread in, to go in there. There's a lot of space. They went up against the wall, two Kohanim, and they pushed it, and they took out the old bread and they pushed in the new bread. The new bread was pushed in from the wall going into the center. So doesn't it make sense that when they lit the Kohanim, they lit the menorah, they put their back was against the wall and they faced the center? So why then in all the picture books is the platform in the middle, not against the wall? I don't know. Maybe the picture books have a makar, which I'm not aware of, or maybe they don't. And how is this nogea when you light, generally in halacha, in the Beis HaKnes, it's clear as day, you're supposed to light facing the tzibur. The tzibur is shulchan aruch explicit. According to the Mechaber, according to the Ramah, you're facing the tzibur, you're not insulting them by putting your back to the tzibur. When you light by the door, a Pesach, Beis HaKnes, it's very complicated. It's not clear when you light by the door, there's a whole major machlok is how you light. This way, that way, we don't really light by the door anymore today, so we don't pay much attention to this. But if you do light by the door, what does that mean? You light perpendicular?
Wife stays outside, why don't you light by the door?
Where do you light? Where do you light? No, how do you do it? It's very, very complicated. There's a lot of stuff on this. Where do you light? But we light in the house. All right, so it doesn't make a difference. But it's an interesting thing. And if you're going to say you light with maybe safety, maybe also the safety issue, you want to put them on the windowsill, so the children shouldn't come near it and knock it over. Maybe there was a matter of space consideration. People lived in little teeny rooms. There was very, very little space, so therefore they put it by the window. I don't know. All of these are very big mysteries. They're very big mysteries, and you have to go to the Shorosh, and people, unfortunately, they do talk about it. They put their hands up. You do, this is good, and that's good. It doesn't really make a difference anyway. It really doesn't make a difference. The Iker is you have one candle for the whole bias on your dining room table. Take a tea light. You put on your dining room table in the center. You close all the window shades, close all the doors, and you like no shamus. Yotza. Everyone is it. The whole family is yotze. So to be yotze the halacha, you need very, very little. Everything else is icing on the cake. So some people like chocolate icing, some like vanilla icing, some like sprinkles. So all of this are all the minhagim. Some of it is halacha, not saying that it's the halacha, but in halacha there are many different opinions, and therefore there's no one, you're not locked in, you have a mahalich, you write, we will write the first stairs on the right. Correct? And the second night, what do you do the second night? You move along. You start with, on the right side, but you start with the new nair. Oh, that itself is explosive. What are you doing? You go and call Pina Shata Poine Loyalimin. And first of all, which is the Iker and which is the Tafel? The Iker is the Nair all the way on the right. So why are you lighting the making a brach on the Hidur when you should be making the brach on the Iker? And first of all, why are you lighting on the right? You should light on the left so that when you make the next ner, called Pina Shatap and Lehalimin, you can find Drey, Azoy, and Azoy, and Azoy, and the Chanan is Machlech between the Chaber and the Ramah and the Gra and the many, many opinions. The bottom line among us, it is accepted by most of us, not all of us, when you light Chanukah, whichever way you are facing, the first ner is the ner on the right. Last night you went, you lit the nair on the right. Tonight you're going to light the first candle. Is going to be the second. Is going to be the new nair. You're going to add an air left of the right, but everything's on the right. That's what we do today. It's, now, what? You're going from left to right. You're going from left to right. But the new nair is left. So we have a principle in halacha. Kol pina, every turn that you make. Lo yehei ela liyamin. So what does that apply? To the lighting? Or does that apply to the addition of the new nair? Does that apply to your maisa hadlaka? Or I light this because then I go to the right. Maybe in this context it means the additional nair should be on the right side. That would require me to light my first candle on the left so that when I the next night of Hanukkah, when I add an additional candle, the additional candle will be on the right.
We don't do that.
I'm saying, but everything is subject to interpretation, and there's a Rishonim. Every single possibility, there's another opinion. We accept this, and we already accept. And one last thing we want to take a short break is that is the Hadlaka Oitsa Mitzvah. You don't tamper with the candles after you light it. You don't light. I'll light over here. I'll let my kid wants the light, so he can't reach the windowsill. So I'll let the child light here on this table, and then when he finishes lighting, I'll pick up the whole menorah and I'll bring it to the window, or I'll light and I'll turn it around. It's hard to maneuver, so I have it with the back. I'll light and then I'll turn around. No. That's not the way you do it. We paskin hadlaka oisa mitzvah. The lighting is the mitzvah. Everything must be in position when you light the Hanukkah candles.
You
place it and then you light it. You place it in the correct location and then you light. You cannot go light it and then, okay, now let's put it on the windowsill. Let's not move it here. Shal can't reach. Take a very short break, then we'll learn a little drush for a few moments.
Somebody has a camel and he's driving, he's living in the camel. Where does he light the Hanukkah left?
In the camper, or you can do that Pesach basically. Either or, same thing. No different than the house.
Light by the window, in the middle, and it doesn't.
By the window, same thing. It's your home. Same thing.
Two things. One is, I found out that they actually do face the Aron Kodesh when they light here. Okay, not that
right,
way.
Right.
The other thing is, you're right about it.
What?
I agree with you about the birth certificate. The birth certificate.
Absolutely. He was for sure born there, and they have a real birth certificate, and he came to America.
You can't, no one's ever going to let them look.
No, they have it already. I saw it. They have it.
No.
They have it. I saw it. Mama saw it. The real birth certificate.
You're talking about the long form versus the
short form. I saw the short form.
If the gate door is here, and the window is here, and it is not beating mezuzah, and what you should do? The window is here, in the gate door. Gate door is mezuzah in this side.
So we mentioned today you lie not by the gate door, you lie in your house. Because in this area, you don't do anything.
In front of the window, there is three grasses. You cannot really look out the gate.
Doesn't matter. Iker Persube Nisi from Bnei Bais.
After a few minutes, you are 10 minutes now, turn off the door to light again.
After a few minutes, what? If it goes out? Yes. You should relight. You don't have to. You don't have to, but you should.
Yes, of course he's done. After that, it's going to be six. But here, in front of you, seven. Can he? Moody doesn't mean in front of you.
Here is the window. Here's the table. I stand like this. My wife stands here, and I face her.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's discuss a few ideas of Al Hanisim. I wanted to look at the Nusach HaTzurah, Al Hanisim, and a few short,